I would like to read tonight from a sermon of Brother Branham and to give us the foundation for these days. Before that, I read two scriptures. The first from Matthew chapter 3. Here I read verse 16. Matthew 3, verse 16. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And then the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 31. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, probably from verse 31. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come, baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. In the word of introduction, we read from John 20, and there Thomas said, unless I put my hand into his side, I will not believe. It was not just about that a disciple of the Lord doubted, but that a further testimony in the Holy Scripture could be reported of an experience which somebody made who has seen the Lord after his resurrection. All things which God did, which he permitted, for this we are grateful. Otherwise, we would not have found this wonderful testimony if this would not be written here. And with this wonderful testimony, I mean the confession of Thomas, my Lord and my God. His doubts were worth it. Beloved, he who sincerely doubts, he will even be rewarded at the end. But one day we then also have to believe. To that, what we read here, I just want to say, John knew the Lord not. This is his personal testimony. But he could say, he who has sent me to baptize with water, he has said to me, God has spoken at all times, and all who heard his voice testified of that, what he said, always. When God sends someone, He tells him what belongs to the commission. God never leaves us in the dark. He says here, I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. How wonderfully these two scriptures complement each other from Matthew 3 verse 16 and John chapter 1 verse 31 to 33. Here in Matthew 3:16 it says, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he, John, saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. John reports, and remaining on him. Many have had an experience, but the Spirit of God could not remain because he was grieved. Therefore he withdrew. It is important that we not only make the experience, but that the Spirit of God can remain on us, resting upon us, anointing us, sealing us, and leading us into all the truth of the Word. That's what matters. Now, I would like to read from the sermon of Brother Branham, which was not yet published, but most surely sometime in October or November it will be published, a couple of passages, because they can help us to reorder our attitude towards the Pentecost experience in a biblical way, because that's what matters. Whoever wants to make a biblical experience with God, he has to have his thoughts, his attitude, and his faith sorted out biblically beforehand. There is no other way. God will never be able to bless if we disregard His Word. We must submit to His Word, and we must have an inner agreement of our hearts toward His Word. May God grant it to me, and may He grant it to all of us in these days. An inner, heartfelt agreement to every word of God, and that we could ponder upon it by faith. In this sermon, Brother Branham makes the comparison, firstly, Balaam and Moses, between the permitted and the perfect will of God. He brings some comparisons to show us where the perfect will of God can be done, namely only there where the prophetic message of God truly has come forth to the people of God. Not there where suddenly a prophet came on the scene who has desires in his heart to receive fortune teller wages. But there where the Lord has spoken, where he fulfills the promises, where his people is gathered under the sacrifice and experienced the Exodus and walked on the way of God. And I think that we in these days, without efforts, could draw here a real comparison. Here it says, now, to outline this, we know that Balaam was a prophet, and Balak was the king of Moab at the time, and they were not infidels at Moab. They served the same God that Israel served, because Moab, the nation, was founded by Lot's son, by his daughter. And so they served the same God. If you notice, their sacrifices and everything was just exactly the same. So it's not only about the worship, about the bringing of sacrifices, but it's about that God can reveal his will to his people, and that his people are ready to obey this divine will by faith. It continues, this is a type of the natural and spiritual meeting. And when the natural and the spiritual meet, there is always a collision, because they run right head on into each other. And Israel, I want to represent it as the spiritual church, and Moab as the natural church. Just the church, what we call church natural. Here we have the basis. Brother Branham said, in every revival come forth twins, the human-minded and the divine-minded. Those who receive the word of the Lord by divine revelation, and the others who deal with it with their reasoning. In every age, there are the called and the chosen ones. There are always two groups. Now, all can consider themselves spiritual. I haven't found anyone yet who could have considered himself as naturally minded when he spoke about spiritual things. Everybody is spiritual. That's how it looks like. And no one would admit that he would think carnally or acting and reacting earthly. But now we have read that these two things, when they come together, they run right head on into each other. They speak two different languages. Actually, they have nothing in common. Now, we believe with all our hearts that God marks the elect by that they believe with all their hearts the revealed word for their time. without interpreting, without leaving away what they don't like, but believing the overall testimony with all their heart. It continues, and we are all sure that there is a church and there is a bride coming out of that church. We know that is true. And they clash here. And we notice that when they clashed here, it come under something that I would like to speak a moment on. As soon as they clashed, and one seen what the other one was doing, there was a great impersonation one of the other. There's always an original. And everything what is not original must and can only be an impersonation. Moses had an original calling, an original commission, an original promise. He came to the people of God with a message of God to make the promise true, which God gave to Abraham. There was only one original. Everything else were imitations. Then came some things. But God stood until the end only to that what was done in His name according to His word under His commission. Everything else fell by the wayside. So it will be now at the end of days. God cannot walk 100 different ways. God has only one way and walks this way with His church. It continues, and that's where we find it today, that we do get too much impersonations. And when you do that, you are always in trouble. You cannot live the other fellow's life. We cannot impersonate something. We must be just what we are. You mustn't never try to. If this fellow does something because he does it, you think you have to too. You don't do that. You are an individual to God. And we mustn't try to impersonate each other. I think this is a very clear language. And nobody should think here today or in all future that it here in this sermon it was about to preach a sermon to the people in the days of Moses. No, that was not the point. It was about to show us from that time today how the way of God looks like among His people. And everyone whom God is merciful, He respects the decisions of God. Before that, he has no opportunity at all to walk on the way of God. It continues. Now, you see, you can be ever so sincere and yet be wrong. You can be wrong. There is a way that seemeth right, but the end thereof is the ways of death. Sincerity alone will not save anyone. Don't you think that the people everywhere are sincere? And I dare to say, as Brother Branham also mentioned it, if a young lady goes into a monastery, then she doesn't go there to enjoy her life, but to serve God with a sincere heart. But the sincerity is of no use if it is not the way of God on which we walk. Don't you think that today are many sincere who say that Jesus prayed for the unity and we all must be one? They are so sincere that the hour will come when one brother will help the other one to die, then he thinks to have done a service for God. And if we look back, then we can see the spiritual development clearly. In the first revival fire, God separates his people, and then it flattens. Then the whole thing becomes lukewarm and sluggish. And then one orientates himself to the things which one has left behind before that. We don't want to go into details. Perhaps we do it in a brochure. Here it continues to say, I think that's what Abel had at the beginning, a spiritual revelation that it wasn't the fruit of the field or the works of our hands or so forth. It was blood, and he offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain did. We find in Abraham and Lot the same thing in a choice, because Lot went down when the time came, when the spiritual and the natural church come in a clash because of the herdsmen. They had to separate one from another, and whenever this does, it sets up a jealousy. Here we have a very special connection. It was not Abraham and Lot initially, but the shepherds of Abraham and the shepherds of Lot. And there it started, so that Abraham and Lot had to separate. It is not the people of God, but those who want to be shepherds over the people of God, and who are more concerned about the wool than about the sheep. And here starts the very big trouble. But God has still people, namely shepherds, whom he himself has set into the church. And for this, we are grateful, not shepherds who come forth from a catastrophe, but shepherds who have proved themselves in every situation and who stand firm with the help of our God. It still continues. Jealousy comes always there where this happens. Of course, this is the point. This was so at the beginning with Cain, and it will go on like this until the end. There is somebody who thinks by himself, oh, this brother, he has now meetings. This I can also have. Already human comparisons are being drawn and you get into your own program. In the midst of the kingdom of God, many have built their own kingdom, and this may and cannot be. Jesus Christ, our Lord, says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And in his church, he has set the ministries and the offices, not people who sometime think, but whom God determined for it. It continues, when God accepted Abel's revelation and his offering, it made Cain get jealous of Abel. And there was the first murder. When is murder committed? Character assassination and all what goes with it. When a jealousy comes upon the people, which devours them, yes, which eats them up, and they cannot help themselves anymore. Instead, that we rejoice when God blesses, because we know that no man is able to bless, but only God alone. Everybody who belongs to the body of the Lord rejoices when a member on the body of the Lord is blessed and used by God and has become a blessing for others. And as I said many years ago, if we want that God blesses us, then we must rejoice with all our hearts when we hear and see that God has blessed another one already. Then comes our hour to be blessed by God. We read on here. We find out that jealousy become between the herdsmen of Abraham and Lot, and they had to separate. We find out that Moses and Korah had a clash also. Jesus and Judas had a clash. And as ever, it's been the same thing, and so is it today. The natural church and the spiritual church has a clash when they come together. Now, the natural tries to match the spiritual, always with a carnal impersonation. But as it was with Esau and Jacob, it will not work. Also, this is a very wonderful thought. What could Jesus for it? What Judas did with him? What could Moses for it? What Korah did? Moses had to walk his way, determined by God, with the people of God. And this way was not easy at all. We even know of Jannes and Jambres. Moses should do miracles and throw the rod onto the ground. And already two men are here. Everyone throws his rod, and behold, both of the rods become serpents, and the people were tossed to and fro. Who is right? Who is sent by God? The one, the two, or the three? Time and again, there were trials, but God's people had to pass the test. Did not all know that Jannes and Jambres weren't there at all when God made the beginning, when it actually started with a plan of salvation of the people of Israel? One always has to come back to the origin, to the beginning, to get the connection to that, what happened since the beginning. We can't get on somewhere in the middle after many years. No, we must come back to the beginning. And here we are further told, it was always the same as it is today. Natural imitators, and they do what those sent by God have to do. And then it starts. Then the people are torn apart. And if I just may say today, on this day of Pentecost, very openly at this place, how did it start? How many came on the scene with the message and the word of God from the beginning? How many? Today, they are tossed to and fro, and the people don't know where they are. Beloved, God wants to give us in these days a possibility to make our decision according to His word and to remain with it, so that we reach the destination. No to and fro, but a clear way with our God. It continues here. God has His church called, named, set aside, and in the age that she lives in, He'll reveal Himself to her, that the foreknowledge or predestination of God might stand sure. Keep that in mind. He knows what's in your heart. He knows what you mean. No matter what we say, He knows what you mean. May our words and that what we think in our hearts agree. One time, Brother Branham said, how often brothers told me, I love you with all my heart. And the man of God, with the gift of discernment, said, I knew that they don't do it. But it were words. Beloved, God does not want our words. He wants our deeds. He wants our heart. And both shall agree. and it's always caused trouble. Since Cain killed Abel, the natural has always tried to destroy the effects of the spiritual. We find it the same thing today, the very same thing today. It proves that it comes from Satan, because it's jealousy and impersonation of truth. I may say with a good conscience, although I speak very openly here, I have criticized no one who translates the sermons of Brother Branham. I corrected nobody. I didn't rectify anyone, but all, from the first to the last, have tried so nicely to do it. And some are here who know it and who can judge it. I have a nice comparison lying on my writing desk, which Brother Pesal sent me. Beloved, here we are told, between the spiritual and the carnal, and the ones try to destroy the influence of the other. Never will a spiritual person, a person who has been pardoned by God, he will never say the least bit negative about anyone else. If Paul, and I say this on purpose now, if Paul lets himself be carried away and writes, "Look at the dogs, the evil workers," then with this he was not angry, but out of concern of his heart, because of the divine commission, he had the concern over the church of the living God. This was driving him to say this, but this shall never come over our lips. We really believe, that's how it says here, that God will never change his mind about what he said, and that he always let it be true. What God said once, this remains forever true. On this we can rely on, and for this we are grateful. Just imagine, God would have said something today, and tomorrow he would say something else. Where could our faith rest? It would stagger to and fro. No, our God is true and trustworthy, and all his words are yes and amen. We can rely on it even today. And for this, we are grateful with all our hearts. But now it comes. And here we all must examine ourselves. But he has a permissive will. Now, there is where the trouble lays. We try to work on God's permissive will, and he will permit it. But also, if we take his permissive will, though it's not right, he will make his permissive will to work out together to glorify his perfect will. Did we understand this? Even when on earth thousands do the permissive will of God, yet the Lord will lead his bright church unharmed of all the permissive will of God into the perfect will of God, so that she reaches the destination. There's no other way. On one place, Brother Branham said, a fake dollar bill only testifies of that there is a genuine dollar. And so there's also only one single original, and everything else are imitations. But even the permissive will of God will ultimately have to serve for his glorification, so that his perfect will takes place. Let us assume that temporally we ourselves would have been in the permissive will of God. Then the Almighty God, in his grace and mercy, will take care of that his people can be led from the permissive will into the perfect will of God. For only in the perfect will of God we will reach the destination. So, if we have been pardoned by God, and this I don't say lightly, then we can be even full of confidence in our faith. If God would have let us walk in his permissive will, then he will take care of that we come into his perfect will. There is no person who could be so overconfident, saying to himself that he is infallible and thinking that he made every step of faith in the perfect will of God. Beloved, there was only one, namely the one who himself is perfect, who was at all times and every hour in the perfect will of God. We, as incapable men, may sometimes here and there be found in the permissive will of God. And yet our heart jubilates and rejoices. Shall our permissive will outperform the perfect will of God and destroy it? Never ever. The purpose of our God remains, and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hallelujah! Blessed and praised be his holy name. If we look back today, how many years you and I walked in the permissive will of God without considering the present time. Everybody in his church, in his denomination, and wherever it was. But then it pleased God to reveal unto us his will. And then we could discern what is the will of God, namely the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now comes the time where the bright church of the Lord comes into agreement with all of the testimony of the Holy Scripture and is led into this good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Not by intentions and own efforts, but by a believing heart and a willing spirit to follow the Lord on all the way. Has not the will of God been revealed to us by and by, step by step? Have we not come from clarity to clarity and from knowledge to knowledge? We didn't reach the destination yet. And also Paul writes to the Philippians, not as though as I am already perfect. What a humble assessment of a true man of God. What shall I say, and some amongst us as poor fumblers who we daily and hourly depend on the grace of God. But this we confess frankly, grace and mercy were granted to us. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And on everything what the Lord has already done on us, we can assess how great His love is toward us and how much efforts He made Himself until now and will continue to make. It continues, there's nothing will go wrong with God. He knows just where the clock's ticking at tonight. There's nothing wrong. Every tick is hitting just exactly the way it should be. Everything. We think it's wrong, but He knows it's right. It's supposed to be like this. And here we cannot even ask why it should be so. Who will give us an answer for this? Then we could start with God in paradise. Why had the transgression be? Why sin? Why the separation from God? Why death? If we want to start with the word why, then it doesn't stop anymore. No, we are fully convinced that everything goes the right way. And at the end of days, it will be manifest that God had His way with His people and that the clock was ticking right and that the tact was always right. Here we have read it. And this passage is written right behind the permissive will of God. I read you the last 6 lines. He will permit it. But also, if we take His permissive will, though it's not right, He will make His permissive will to work out together to glorify His perfect will. There's nothing will go wrong with God. He knows just where the clock's ticking at tonight. There's nothing wrong. Every tick is hitting just exactly the way it should be. Everything. Now somebody may say here, one moment, in everything? Yes, everything means everything. And if we still have the right word here, then it means that nothing was excluded from it. So, everything runs right with God. It went right when Eve listened what was said there, and also when Adam listened what was said there. Now you may say, is this right? And there Brother Branham gives the lapidary explanation. God had attributes in himself. He was Savior, he was Healer, he was Father, and then he says, never God could have manifested all his attributes if this story had not proceeded. So, everything runs smoothly with God. It runs very precisely. And we may say, Adam, what you have done? Eve, if I meet you one day, then I confront you about it. Let us forget all of this. The Holy Scripture says, death came upon all men by one. So the grace of God and eternal life came through one man for all who believe. So God has inserted everything what was permissible again into his perfect plan. And the permissible ends and merges in the perfect will of God. And the perfect will of God was that he would have sons and daughters in his kingdom who live and will be with him eternally. And through Calvary, this perfect will of God was revealed to all them who are ordained to see the glory of God. Why should we today waste time what was permissible if we can see that everything permissible throughout all of the time span of the Old Testament merged into the perfect will of God. And now we concentrate on the eternal will of God, which was manifested in Jesus Christ our Lord. Right or not? And in this we have now our part. It continues here. The word church itself means called out ones. Those who have come out of her, my people, be ye separated, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. The church of God is called out of the world, out of the chaos of the world. You are no more of the world. As I was trying to say the other night to you, it's when you know that you have the earnest of your eternal redemption right now in you by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's already quickened you. You are now risen with Him, and we are sitting together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You are no more of the world. If you love the world and your affections are still on the things of the world, then the love of God is not even in you. We are free from the world. There is no more desire. That's how we just read it here and heard it. Here was the first passage which reminds us on Pentecost how clear we have heard it. In the Old Testament, the men of God and the people of God gave sacrifices, but it were animals whose blood was shed, and the sin could not be forgiven. They were covered, and the life of the sacrifices could not come back on him who sacrificed. But now Christ, the Lamb of God, gave himself for a holy, undefiled sacrifice to God, to redeem us, to give us forgiveness. And whoever doubts this and questions the forgiveness of a child of God, he is guilty on the blood and on the body of Jesus Christ. For the body of Jesus Christ, up to the last member, is under the blood of the Lamb and is unblameable in the presence of God. We have to recognize the meaning of Calvary all over again and receive it by faith with all our hearts. Here we were told, when the Holy Spirit comes down, I have just said it before, that we cannot refer to the past and then walking forward. What was in the past is past. We can only deal with that what is present, and we see how in Christ the word of the divine promise became flesh. So at the end of days, in the bride, as in the bridegroom, the word of the divine promise will become flesh. And as the Spirit came upon him, so he must come upon the whole church. And there Brother Branham says in the sermon, the token, he says, the life of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, on the day of Pentecost, came back on all who by the blood of the Lamb were redeemed. Beloved, this was the answer from God. We come to the Lord, He accepts us, but then we are in need of this divine answer. Jesus said, it behooves us to fulfill all righteousness, for John did not want to obey him. And when he was baptized, the heavens opened above him, and the Spirit of God came down. Beloved, above us, in these days, there shall be an open heaven, and the Holy Spirit shall come upon the blood-bought multitude. It's not our merit, but it was intended by God for us. For thus it is written, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Beloved, I don't belong to those who blow the trumpet for themselves, what they do or what they don't do, but in this whole week, these days were so heavy on my heart that I said to myself, I will neither eat nor drink. I want that God comes to his right. And I have made up my mind not to preach, but to do what they did on Pentecost. When did Peter preach? After the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, right or not? Of course not before, but afterward. And I preach before? Who of us can believe today that God can give Pentecost? If we persevere in prayer before God, I have said it to the Lord, how shall I preach? And afterward, we go home, and no man received and experienced what was promised there to the church and what was intended for her. John saw the Spirit of God descending upon Jesus, and it is him who baptizes with the Spirit and with fire. John said, I knew him not, but he who sent me, he said unto me, on whom you see the Spirit descending, it is him who baptizes with the Spirit and fire. If we can lay everything aside, what is in our way, what hinders us, and in perfect faith, thanking the Lord, and really pray, not just ask, but connected with an inner thanksgiving, letting the Lord know that we not only heard his word, but that we believe it with all our hearts. Here, this passage I would like to still read. It is so, just as I tried to tell you recently that evening. When you know that you now have the down payment of your eternal redemption within you, by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. When you know, not when you assume, when you know, when you received it, when you have it within you, when you possess it, when you know it, then you are quickened already. Is it in us still a hope, or has the hope already become a reality? Beloved, it's not only enough to speak of the last speaking of God and to look at the biblical truths and to preach about it. Peter did not preach about Pentecost. And even when he came into the house of Cornelius, he was still at the beginning of his declaration. He didn't even get yet to Pentecost. And the Holy Scripture says, the Holy Ghost fell on all who were gathered there. What was it? They were hungry and thirsty, gathered in the presence of God. They recognized instantly that they need God, that they need this quickening power of the Spirit, so that these mortal bodies can be changed and made into resurrection bodies. The Holy Spirit fell upon all. But because we have made some kind of experiences and perhaps say, huh, if I end up like this one or that one, then rather not at all. Oh, let us leave all these kind of thoughts. They are just an hindrance to us. Let us concentrate on the perfect will of God. Maybe we walked in this regard in the permissive will of God, and He brought us until here through His grace and mercy. But today He wants to tell us, I want to lead you into my perfect will. And what did He say then? I am come so that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. John said, I baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that comes after me shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. God wants to do it. And this is now the best time which ever was since the days of the apostles for an outpouring of the Spirit. It is now. Because only now, at the end of days, the pure word, the divine seed was sown into the hearts of the believers. In the meantime, throughout centuries, and especially since the turn of the century, the Spirit of God fell everywhere. And I'm not here today to criticize, but at the beginning was everything wonderful. There were no hierarchies, and there was no striving for oneself. There the children of God came together, and everyone served with the gift which he received from God. And as you know, I traveled quite a bit in this world. And in England, there were two brothers, the Jeffrey brothers, whom God used in a special way after Wigglesworth. And Brother Branham mentions them in a sermon. And when I then had the opportunity to speak in these churches, there came the representative. And behold, exactly that, what every priest wears, a turned around collar, just like all the clerics. And I thought by myself, if these men of God, whom the Lord used at the beginning to bring a revival, if they would see what is happening today, they would turn over in their graves. All of them, they copied what they left behind before. Also, upon this, I touched upon. We as the Church of the Living God in these days are not here to copy others who are left behind and to imitate them. We are here to walk the whole way of God until the end. And it would be fine with me if we, as the great men of God, were thrown at with rotten eggs, if only God would be in our midst and the power of God would be manifested, then everything would be fine with me, right or not? We must be ready for everything. But firstly, we must be ready to believe the Word of God as it is written. Ezra said, "For tomorrow, I have made up my mind not to preach. I have said, we come just together. What will happen, I don't know. But we come by faith together. On these 2 days, something must take place. We must have an encounter with God. We won't break any chairs. We will not cause havoc. But by faith, we will approach God and say, Lord, we have believed your word. We received it in us. May you let your quickening power, the power of the Holy Spirit, come upon all of us, as then on Pentecost. How many of us see the necessity for such an experience? We are all among ourselves, and nobody sees who raises his hand, so we can do it. Who of you believes it? Thank you. God has seen it. Yes, I tell you the truth. If we have no oil, we will not enter when the Lord comes. Although we are pure and wise virgins, there will be no power of God in us to perform the changing of our mortal bodies. So, as it is written, if the Spirit of Him who raised up Jesus Christ from the dead dwell in your mortal bodies, then He shall also quicken your mortal bodies. But He must dwell in us. He must come upon us and must remain on us, so that the power of God is in us. The Spirit baptism does not make us to be children of God. We become the children of God by the faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Therefore, our Redeemer said, "Wait in Jerusalem until ye are endued with the power from on high." He didn't say until you become a believer. No, he also didn't say until you become children of God. No, he said, "Wait until ye are endued with the power from on high." This equipping we need urgently. Very, very urgently. And the Lord wants to give it to us. The heaven is already open. We don't need to pray anymore that it shall open. The veil is torn. The way is free. God was reconciled with mankind. Our sin is forgiven. We have become God's possession. We have become children of God. But We want to have part in the first resurrection. We want to be part of the bride church. We want to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And to this, it is necessary that we receive this power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit. Pentecost is the best opportunity for it. Do not worry about anything. Only believe. Only believe. And it will take place. We don't need to do anything ourselves. The Holy Spirit will do everything. Blessed and praised be His name. Don't worry. I don't worry myself either. I have just said it to the Lord. But I will not dare to tell Him what He must do. I may ask Him for everything, especially when it comes to the fulfillment of a promise which He has given. But we remain open before His presence and will do what He instructs us to. Even when I say in prayer, Lord, I am not willing to preach. I want that the Holy Spirit falls. Then I must still say, not my, but your will be done. And so, we come with an open heart. Without fanaticism, we come before the presence of our God. And I'm convinced that He gives us plenty of gifts. As I said sometimes, I want to see you all with the Lord. Together, we want to celebrate the Lord's Supper with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God called already the prophets gods, but to them not only the word came, upon them came also the Spirit, and through the Spirit the inspiration and revelation was given. Both belongs together. Oh, that we could believe with all our hearts, totally relaxed, relaxed in the presence of the Lord. No fighting at all, no efforts, no wrestling, a trustful confidence to our God. Lord, You are the one who baptizes with the Spirit and fire. Upon You, the Son of God, came the Spirit, so that you can baptize with the same Spirit all sons and all daughters of God. Flesh of His flesh, bone of His bone, Spirit of His Spirit, Word of His Word. As we heard it many times, there will be a Word Bride. Not a letter bride, a word bride. And our Lord says, the words which I have spoken to you, they are spirit and life. So not a letter. Spirit of God, divine life in those who received the word. Can you all believe it? With God, all things are possible. To Him, our Lord and Redeemer, who endured everything for us, the redeemed, Gethsemane and Calvary, who died for us. He is risen for our justification. He ascended to heaven and poured out the Spirit. Today, He is the same as He was yesterday, and therefore, He will do the same today. everything what God permitted will not hinder that His perfect will be done in you and in me, in all of us, in His church. If I could believe everything from the bottom of my heart in this way, then I would jump over this desk. I am convinced that the eternal counsel of our God will come to pass and to the completion just as He purposed it from before the foundation of the world. Circumstances do not change this at all. God is sovereign above all. It must and it will take place. Does this not raise us up from our own limitations? Does it not place us on higher ground? Does it not connect us with God? Does it not make us certain and happy on our inside that we can say, Lord, on you we can rely on. You stand to your word. We hold fast to it until you fulfill it. And we say, as Mary said then, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. Today we can say the same, Lord, do in me as you said. Be it unto me according to your holy and precious word. May a sleepless night be given to all of us. Yes, a sleepless night given to all of us, so that we get a hunger for God. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst. They shall be satisfied. God will satisfy our hunger. Blessed and praised be His holy name. Amen. Let us stand up and pray. Let us thank the Lord together, giving Him the worship by faith, that He will do what He promised. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Faithful God, with all my heart, I thank you tonight. Your clock is accurate to the second. Everything ticks right and comes to pass just as you planned it. Faithful Lord, manifest in these days thy great power and glory, that we experience that the heaven is open and that the Holy Spirit comes down. Faithful Lord, we thank you. You are the one who baptizes with the Spirit and fire, and you are in our midst. You are now walking among our ranks. Hallelujah! 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 Praise, glory, and honor be unto the Lord, who walks in the midst of the golden candlesticks to confirm his word and to pour out his Spirit upon all flesh, and tonight upon us. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Praise, glory, and honor be unto you. I thank you for your feelable presence. It is precious to us. It is lovely. It sends out peace, as if you wanted to say, "Peace be with you," as you did it then. Faithful Lord, give us this perfect unity when we pray, that we all pray, when we think, that we all think, when we sing, that we all sing. Lord, bring us under the direct leading of your Spirit. Make us quiet in your presence. I thank you that we have the comparison. Your Spirit hovered at the beginning, brooding over the waters. Heat went forth to bring forth life. If the spoken word would have come forth, Lord, from your Spirit who hovers over us, heat and fire goes forth. You baptize with the Spirit and with fire. I thank you for it. To bring forth what through your word was given as the divine promises to your church. Faithful Lord, receive us all. Let us fully agree with your word and with your Spirit. May we feel your divine love and security. O Lord, I thank you, I praise you, and I worship you. If we were led until now in such a wonderful way, without claiming, without saying that we have done in all things the perfect will of God, and you were so merciful to us, what shall now be if we are about to be led into your divine, perfect, good, and acceptable will of God? Lord, bless your people in a very special way, now at the end, as you did it at the beginning. You are nigh to us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise, honor and glory be unto you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. O Lord. O God. Lord, let us belong to those who believe every word, every promise, and receive it, that we don't miss out in anything. Hallelujah. O God, look from how far our brothers have come, and also our sisters. As then in Jerusalem, they came from Cappadocia and from 17, 18 different countries. Lord, we have come together from many countries, not to hear a Pentecostal sermon, but to experience the outpouring of your Holy Spirit. Lord, I thank you and I praise you. Hallelujah. Thanks, honor and glory and worship be unto you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God.